I was a friend raiser. That was the short answer when people say, well, corporate engagement, what is that? You know, I'd say, I'm a friend raiser. I go to these companies, I build bridges, I build relationships and open communication on behalf of the university so that when they have a question or they need to fill a position, they know me, even if they don't know somebody else. So they can pick up the phone or text me and say, hey, we've got an opening. Can we send it to you? I'm like, sure, I'd love to help.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones, sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast. I'm Tiffany Snyder, and I'm here with my favorite co-host, Brad Garner. Hi, Brad.
And your only co-host. Glad to be here.
I know. I just like, makes me feel good to make you feel good. It's messed up. We have an awesome opportunity today to welcome to the show Dr. Jeff Williamson.
Jeff Williamson is founder of the CMG Group Incorporated, which is an executive coaching and consulting company located in the Chicago area. The CMG Group exists to coach, mentor, and guide leaders toward maximizing the talents and gifts of their workforce by driving organizational health through personal and professional growth. Jeff also teaches graduate classes for Olivet Nazarene University on coaching, mentoring, leadership, and change. He has held numerous executive positions at Olivet Nazarene, including Executive Director of Corporate Engagement and Dean of the School of Graduate and Continuing Studies. Jeff earned the Doctorate of Education degree in Leadership from Argosy University, a master's degree in communication from Ball State University, and a bachelor's degree in communication from Olivet Nazarene University. He also completed a year of postdoctoral studies in marketing at The Ohio State University Fisher College of Business and was certified in fundraising management by Indiana University.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And we're going to start the show, as we usually do, with some fun get-to-know-you questions. And the first one that came to mind for you, and I don't even know if you drink coffee, but I had to put it down. How do you prefer your coffee?
Well, I do. Man, that's a good question for me. Usually, it's just a little bit of cream, and, you know, I go from there. The caveat would be if I'm having a really rich dessert, like a cheesecake or something like that. It's good coffee. Mm-hmm. I'll just go straight black coffee with a good dessert.
Oh, I do the same thing. I guess I thought I was unique. But...
Okay, follow-up question. Can you diagnose someone's leadership skills by their preferences and the way they drink their coffee?
You know, that sounds like an interesting study. I haven't ever thought about that. I think I probably could get some insights on there, but I'm not sure yet what they would be. But yeah, I'm like, no, can I trust you when you put that much powder and cream into coffee?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I don't know. All those additives. It could be interesting.
Okay, Jeff, let's say you're at a party and you don't really know anybody there. What would be your go-to small talk subject?
Yeah, it could be a variety of things. But if it's in that setting, I'm probably going to ask someone, A, about their family, because usually folks are happy to talk about the people close to them. And I'll often, too, say to someone, are you reading anything interesting these days? Or what's the last book you read? Or what's one of your favorite books to read? Because then that keeps the conversation about them, which I really like to do that rather than, hi, I'm Jeff. Let's talk about me. That's not
it. Okay. And so what if you ask that book question and the person says, Cat in the Hat. Kind of going,
I love Dr. Seuss. That would be my answer. Some of my favorite books of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This last question in the getting to know you section, this is one that I know that you can answer with ease, because you do have a lot of community involvement. And so I'm just curious, what are some of those community involvement experiences that have impacted you the most?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a multi-pronged kind of thing. But one of the things that I always talk about pretty much regardless of the context or the topic is that for me, relationships are everything. And so that is a starting point. So if I'm engaging someone in the community, or I'm volunteering in a nonprofit or some kind of thing like that, it's about connecting with other people and developing relationships and maybe helping them to do that too. The other piece is, you know, is that something that I can really get my head and my heart connected? You know, is this helping families? Is it helping children? Is this helping the community or those in need or someone who's really in a struggle part of their life? And then this nonprofit or this ministry really helps stand in the gap for that. So if those kind of things are working together, it's like, sign me up, man. I'm in.
Mm-hmm. So can you recall a moment when you started doing that kind of work, working with nonprofits or community organizations, where you thought to yourself, this is really an important part of who I am?
Yeah, it really is. I think part of that, you know, most of my career has been in higher education, and at times my work responsibilities put me out in the community, engaging with companies and nonprofits. And I think one of the things that has brought me the most joy is when I've maybe been at a company and a nonprofit and they said, boy, if you know any fill in the blank, engineers, marketing people, whatever, send them my way. And when I've gotten to know the community group or that company and then said, you know what, I've got a couple, three people you might want to talk to. And then someone gets maybe their first job out of college or their second or third job.
Nice.
And it's like two people that didn't know each other that I knew, and I got to help them have a conversation that improved both of their lives. It's like, that's one of my happy moments for sure.
Very good.
I think Brad just at lunch today reflected on that very notion of how powerful it would be, you know, when we have positions and people and we're able to make those connections and what that means for him too. So, well, we know a little bit about your community involvement just from our relationship with you online, if we can even call it that.
Absolutely.
But what we're really curious about is your whole journey, because it's rich with diverse experiences. And we would love for you to tell us more about kind of where you began in your career and how that brought you to where you are today.
Well, my earliest really career start is just a few miles from where you all are located. And I went to grad school at Ball State University, and I came out of Ball State with a master's in communication and took a job at another university there in Indiana, Manchester University, and worked my first full-time professional job as a staff member in admissions and was assistant baseball coach. So for me to be coaching people now, decades later, it's like in my heart, I'm still that 20-something, you know, coaching people and trying to help them grow and get better at what they're doing. And so that was my first foray into higher education. And largely because when I came out of grad school, I was like, I'm not sure even then what I wanted to do for the long haul. And I had a great college experience. Yeah. I loved what happened in my own life during those college years. And so working at a college was very attractive to me because I thought, man, those are important years. And I love being a part of that on the student side. Maybe it'll be as rewarding or similarly as a professional member. So I did. And, you know, 30 plus years later, I've been at multiple universities, and that's involved administrative work, that's involved teaching part-time and later full-time for 7 years. And, you know, it's just kind of been this interesting thing where every 4 or 5 years, I feel like even if I was at the same place, I feel like I kind of reinvent myself, you know? So it wasn't like I went to a college for 10, 11 years and did the same thing for 10 or 11 years. It was usually opportunities would come along to say, hey, would you be interested in teaching full time? Hey, you know, there's this administrative opening. Is that something you'd be interested in? And so it's easy to look at and go, oh, all he's done is higher ed, which is fine. But I've had many different roles. And then in the last 15, 18 years, I guess, those roles included interacting with companies and businesses and doing the corporate engagement work that's a part of my story. And I think it's largely because I've always loved when I can take the the training, the expertise, the education that I have, and help it be usable today for other people. And so that practical application, that usability, there's nothing better when I have someone in a class or whatever the topic is, and they'll come the next week or they'll text me and go, "Doc, yesterday I used that stuff we just talked about with conflict resolution in class. I used it and it helped." You know, I'm like, yay, that's real life. And so I love those different applications. Regardless of the venue, whether I'm traipsing around a manufacturing plant or teaching a group of doctoral students, it's joy for me to be able to see them convert it from theory to practice, and then to pass that on and multiply that by being an encouragement or a help to other people.
Is there a certain role that stands out to you as, you know, maybe the most impactful years for you of your career, or the role itself was?
Yeah. You know, it may sound cheesy, but it's like right now, you know, because, and I'll back up and clarify that. I think going back to where I was full-time in higher education, but I decided to start my business because it was just a passion thing for me. So it was my side gig for a while, and I was loving my full-time work at the university too. And that was in the area of corporate engagement, building bridges. And as I've liked to say for years, I was a friend raiser. That was the short answer when people say, "Well, corporate engagement, what is that?" You know, I'd say, "I'm a friend raiser. I go to these companies, I build bridges, I build relationships and open communication on behalf of the university so that when they have a question or they need to fill a position, they know me, even if they don't know somebody else. So they can pick up the phone or text me and say, 'Hey, we've got an opening. Can we send it to you?'" I'm like, "Sure, I'd love to help." And so that, you know, that kind of that final 4 or 5 year chapter of full-time in higher education in that role was almost like this beautiful overlay with what I'm doing now, which I'm serving those same companies and organizations in some ways. It's just on a different role and a different side of the calculation, if you will.
Well, it sounds like no matter what you do or what you've done, the common denominator is connecting with people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the joy. Literally this morning, I met with a college senior here locally and just kind of like talk about life. What's next? What are your passions? What's your joy? And as we were talking about that, you know, she was asking good questions. And I said, walk toward those things that give you joy. Life is too short to just do stuff because you got to pay the bills. Yeah, we got to pay the bills. That's an honorable thing to do. But to be able to do that in a space where you're like, my work matters. It's not perfect. It's not joy bells every day. But most days I go home thinking, man, I'm fortunate to be able to do what I do and to serve the people that I serve. And you do
absolutely
that, man, that's joy. And so connection between people in a workplace, connection with their coworkers, connection with their clients that they serve, to me, that's just the heart of everything for me.
And think about all the people you know who don't view their work that way. They view it as drudgery, something I have to do, something I hate to do. To be able to love your work is one of the greatest blessings in life.
And it makes me truly sad when somebody's like, I just get sick of feeling in my stomach when I think about going to work tomorrow. I'm like, oh, please do something about that. You know?
Absolutely.
Please don't just live that way for 40 years and then call it quits. You know, it's not, life doesn't have to be that painful and drudgery, you know, work.
Absolutely.
There's so much more for us than that.
So tell us about your book, The Power of 168.
Thank you for asking. You know, like a lot of things, it just grew out of a one-on-one conversation. I was teaching a doctoral course on personal leadership, and it was, you know, the format was 3-year program. Each summer you come to campus, there's a solid week of class all day, every day. And I taught one of those intensive classes, and it was probably second or third day. had a cohort about 15, and one of the students came out on the break, you know, kind of looks both ways and says, "Doc, I don't think I have time to do this program." Well, why do you feel that way? And then she went on to tell me, you know, good things. So I got family, I'm working full time, I'm down, yeah, just checked all this off. And I said, well, here's the thing. I've known dozens upon dozens upon dozens of people who have similar circumstances, and they've been successful and they've completed this program. And I think you're just as smart and capable as they are. Boy, she wasn't convinced, you know. And I said, I think you have the time, but you maybe just don't realize it. So you're probably not the only one feeling that way. Could we kind of talk about this through as a cohort after the break? Yeah, she felt good about that. Okay. So, you know, I don't even know why, but I real quick, I thought, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That's what we all have. So I went in after the break, went up to the whiteboard, and I wrote down 168. You know, and like a good prof, I just turned around, didn't say anything. Anyone? Bueller? Silence. Nobody knew. Anybody know what this number is? It didn't resonate with anybody. I said, that's the number of hours that every one of us have in a week. So now what happened there was we had this great organic conversation, 30, 40 minutes long. I hadn't planned it. I just wanted to get on that horse and see where it went. And by the time it was over, we had mapped out categories and what's that most valuable and how much time a week do you give to that? And so it became this thing almost that it was so meaningful to them that I started doing that talk in following years, because I taught that class 5-6 years in a row. So then I started doing that 168 talk on purpose. And people said, well, that was helpful. Have you ever written that down? And I was like, not really. And so eventually then somebody says, well, you really, I think about that. That helped me a lot. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I wrote a blog about it. And then somebody said, you ever thought about writing a book or something? I'm like, well, yeah, kind of, but so I really tackled it as, and this is full disclosure, I really tackled it as just like, hey, I'll do an ebook. I'll put it out there because it's a good marketing tool. You know, I'm a coach and a trainer and a professor. Sure. It'll be a good tool to just make available, maybe help some people. So I put it as an ebook, did the whole email list, you know, sign up, get a free copy, that kind of thing. And then I started having people saying, I really liked it, but I'd like to get copies for my staff. Have you ever thought about printing it? I'm like, okay. So I did, and set all that up and got it in motion. And, you know, now it's available on Amazon and it seems to be helping some people. You know, the university basketball team, their coach bought a book for all the girls and sent it out to them and had them read it over this summer. So that's been fun to have some conversations and that kind of thing to say,
that's great.
Okay, I guess it's helping some people. And it's just been fun. It's a good topic to talk about because it's something that everybody has to manage. You know, it's like, what is your vision for your life? What are your values? What action steps do you need to take to make that happen? You know, it's in your hands to manage that time. Some people say, well, is it a time management book? I'm like, well, not really, although it's about the aspect of time. To me, it's more what I call the economics of time. How do we spend it? How do we use that currency of time? And so, it's been fun. It's been fun to just talk to people about it. And the process was obviously a learning thing for me. I mean, good time.
So do you find that people get caught up in the routines of their daily lives to the extent that they can't look forward to say, here's what I'd really like to be doing, or here's where I'd really like to go?
Yeah, that seems to be the case. So many of us, myself included, if we don't have a longer view or look at it as the longer game, we can just, you know, swim from Monday to Friday and hang in there and hold on, you know, all these survival kinds of things. And it's like, man, I don't want people to survive. I want people to thrive. I want them to walk into the things that make their hearts sing the most, you know, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And I think we just, you know, we get caught up in inertia and habit, and we just don't think through those things enough to where we say, you know what, when I hit this point in life or this accomplishment, the next thing I want to do is this. And here's why it matters to me, because of my values, because of those things. And maybe what this little book is helping people do is just to stop and kind of think of it through and map it out a little bit and give some thought to beyond this week and this month and say, you know what, for the most part, I'm in charge of this.
Well, hey, everyone, we're going to push pause here and return next week for part two with Jeff Williamson. In the meantime, check out our website, www.digitaltolearn.com, for additional resources. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are three things we ask you to do. One, come back and join us again. Two, tell your friends about us. And three, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Embrace the future.
Always keep learning.